Joining me on the line right now, I have Brandon Schultz and Adam Emmert of the Seahawkers podcast. We're going to break down the Seahawks win over the Eagles and talk about their upcoming game this week. Adam, Brandon, how you guys doing today?
Doing great, Anthony. How are you?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a great weekend. Appreciate you having us, Anthony.
Not a problem, guys. And let's just go ahead and get your thoughts on the win. A solid win over the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't want to say they're a very good team, but they are a decent team in the NFC.
Well, they are a very good team, especially when they're playing at home. Fortunately for us, they weren't playing at home this last week, and they were playing in CenturyLink. So and you saw them struggle, right? It's a defense that seems to be able to really hold teams back when they're playing at home. And Carson Wentz, you know, as good as he's looked all season long, this was probably his worst game of the season.
I don't disagree with you there, Brandon, as you're absolutely right. Carson Wentz didn't look good. Even Richard Sherman kind of laid it to him. It wasn't so much that Carson Wentz looked like he was shaking at all. He was confident, but the problem was he was a rookie, and the Seahawks defense really confused what the Eagles quarterback wanted to do. And I think that's been very key, is that Cam Chancellor comes back, and this defense, especially that secondary, really starting to look like a real dominant force. Not that it wasn't, but it's kind of getting back to the way it usually is on a regular basis when all those guys are healthy.
Yeah, they did make it a little hard on Wentz there at times, but really, I don't know that it was a secondary so much and more the pass rush. I mean, they put a little pressure on Wentz. Now, I know both of you guys both said that Carson didn't look great in this game, but honestly, I'm going to go with a complete different tact. I actually felt like for a rookie on the road in that environment for the first time, I was kind of impressed. I mean, he made some mistakes, you betcha, but his receivers are really what let him down. He had an opportunity to really move the ball at times during that game, and Nelson Aguilar couldn't catch a cold if his life depended on it. Like, it was terrible. The receivers were awful. And I thought Carson Wentz played with poise. I thought he commanded his offense. And I thought he made a good showing considering where his team is at in their progression. The secondary did kind of make it a little tougher on him. And Cam Chancellor getting his first pick, that was kind of fun to see on the season, no doubt.
Well, let's talk about that offense for the Seahawks, because you guys racked up a lot of yards, especially in the first half. The passing game really has kind of taken off, I think, in the last couple of weeks, especially with Russell Wilson looking like now, you know, the knee and the ankle, it's fully behind him. He's been able to find open wide receivers, Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham. I know we kind of underestimate them, but they are really putting on a great performance going forward here in the start of the season.
Yeah, if there's any doubt that Russell Wilson is back yet, I mean, all you have to look toward is that Doug Baldwin 15-yard touchdown pass where Russell Wilson rolled out down the left sideline and Baldwin just put a pass on the money to him and he goes into the end zone. Russell Wilson finally looking like Russell Wilson again, doing Russell Wilson things. That pass to Jimmy Graham as he's running out of bounds and to find Graham and to lead him to be able to have that kind of touch on that football to as he's going out of bounds to get it one to get it around the defender that's chasing him out of bounds and just to get it to Jimmy. That was another incredible play by Wilson.
Well, Brandon, I'm glad you highlighted that throw, because not only just the fact that he was getting close to out of bounds, he was moving to his left. And imagine how many quarterbacks like Colin Kaepernick can't throw moving to his left at all. Hasn't ever been able to, never will be able to. Russell Wilson was running at full speed with his legs pointed directly at the sideline, turns his shoulders completely perpendicular to his body, squares up his shoulders to Jimmy Graham, waits for him to move around the defender, and then drops a dime. That is next level stuff. There's not one other guy in this league, except for possibly Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, that could make that throw. But it's really him and nobody else at this point.
But let's talk about the rushing attack here for this Seahawks team. You got Thomas Rawls back last week. CJ Procise got started with a big 72-yard run for a touchdown. And having those two guys was going to be electric for this offense moving forward. But unfortunately, Procise looks like he's going to be out at least until the playoffs. So now it's really all on Thomas Rawls.
It is all on Thomas Rawls at this point. And it's starting to get a little worrisome as a Seahawks fan, because Thomas Rawls hasn't had a large stretch of injury-free play, and now CJ Procise, he basically came into the season injured. We didn't get him back until late in the season, plays two games, and then gets hurt again on a rather meaningless play, and now out until possibly the start of the playoffs. So now basically, if you're looking internally, the Hawks are down to Thomas Rawls, Alex Collins, who we jokingly call no-hole Collins. Dude can't find a hole for the life of him. He's got no vision. And then maybe George Farmer, who's played I think safety and corner, and, you know, I think he even played offensive coordinator for a game, you know, just to try out coaching too. Like, he's played every position on the team, and now he's playing running back coming off practice squad. We'll see how it goes. I would expect him to bring in somebody off the street.
Adam, I don't know why you're not convinced that Trevon Boykin can't play running back, because we saw him
minus
in there.
8 yards on one carry. That's how.
On his very first carry. That's how bad it got for the Seahawks at running back. They put in their backup quarterback for a rushing yard, seemingly forgetting that they had a fullback still on the roster. Like, did they forget that they actually had Will Tukuafu on the roster? And then for the final play, they're like, oh, that's right, we have Mr. T. Let's hand it off to him for our final offensive play.
Yeah, they remembered. They finally gave him the ball, and then Phil Simms couldn't pronounce his name for the life of him, which I understand. It's difficult.
It's hard. So, yeah.
We're here with Adam Emmert and Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast, talking about this big Seahawks game and big Seahawks win over the Eagles. Guys, you separate yourselves from the division right now. The Arizona Cardinals are in a tailspin. The St. Louis Rams can't get decent quarterback play. Jared Goff looks like he's out of sync. And the San Francisco 49ers, well, you can already go ahead and stick a fork in their playoff hopes. So right now, it looks like it's just going to be you guys from the NFC West.
No, that was one of the nice things to see, too. The Arizona Cardinals going down this weekend. And then, too, for the Rams were up by 10 points over the Dolphins for nearly the entire game. Looking at the Dolphins and the way they played, you know, it was like punt, 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 turnover, punt, turnover, punt. And finally, they scored two touchdowns on their last two drives to take over the Rams. And again, just to see the Cardinals lose, it makes you feel comfortable going into this part of the season that the Seahawks are well in position to take the NFC West.
I'm definitely comfortable with the standings in the division at this point, because I know the Rams are definitely on track to finish 7-9 once again. And two of those seven wins will be over the Seahawks somehow, some way, because they always beat us. But seeing that the Cardinals are having the struggles that they're having, and Carson Palmer look his age, I think is one of the things as a Seahawks fan you take some solace in. Now, I think the fact of the matter is if the Seahawks go 3-3 over their last six games here, basically, if they win three of those, with one of them being a win over the Cardinals, they lock up the division. So with the way they're playing football right now, I think the idea of going 3-3 against some opponents that weren't as difficult as our last stretch, I like their chances, and I think that's going to be a division win. I think Dallas stumbles at least once, if not twice, going down the stretch, and Seattle has an excellent chance at the number one seed when it's all said and done.
You guys are right, because they're number two seed right now if the playoffs started. And I'll be honest with you, the NFC looks real shaky aside from the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't know if I really trust anybody aside from the Cowboys and the Seahawks at this point in the season.
Well, and really, the NFC opponents, that's all the Seahawks play left on their schedule, running down their last six games, coming up against Tampa. That's going to be on the road. Then they play Carolina at home. Then they go on the road to Green Bay. Green Bay's not scaring anybody right now. And then they finish off the season against their NFC West rivals. A game, LA comes up to Seattle to play, and then Arizona. They have a little bit of a longer break because of that Thursday night game against LA. And then they close out the season at San Fran. And I think we can already chalk that one up to a win, even if we're playing backups.
Yeah, no doubt. But give Colin Kaepernick some credit over the last couple of weeks. He's put up some fairly decent performances in an abomination of an offense. Give him a little bit of credit.
His defense is, he can't win with that defense.
I don't trust either one of them. I don't trust San Francisco or Colin Kaepernick at this point, but Adam, you are right. He has put up some okay numbers, but let's talk about the game this week. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend. We've got a great slate of football coming up all weekend long. And guys, this is going to be a game in Tampa on the road on the Eastern Seaboard. But at the same time, this isn't the same Tampa team that people thought they were going to see 2 or 3 weeks ago. They've strung together some nice wins, and coming off that win in Kansas City, Tampa Bay's playing with some momentum right now.
Yeah, Famous Jameis has had a couple really good games, and it looks like the kind of the quarterback that Tampa was hoping for. I think when I look at this matchup, there's a couple things as a Seahawks fan that do concern me. Number one, Tampa's very good on third down offensively, and that is somewhere where the Seahawks have struggled, and especially with the idea that the Seahawks could be missing Earl Thomas in this game, be missing Deshaun Shedd, and also you pair that with the fact that Doug Martin's been back for the Bucs, and he's a top-of-the-line kind of running back. Those are some things that kind of concern me in this matchup. One of the things that I think kind of bodes well in the favor of the Seahawks is that Basically, Tampa's been 4-1 on the road and 1-4 at home. I don't know how that works. Maybe Jameis hates Tampa. I don't know what it is, but they haven't played well at home. And so it's kind of the opposite of the Eagles that we just saw, who played well at home and then poorly on the road. So that kind of helps there. Hopefully we see Michael Bennett back this week. But yeah, third down, I think, is going to be the biggest key in this game for the Seahawks.
Well, what Jameis needs, Adam, is he needs the war chant. You know, the war chant like the Flathead Braves do, like the Florida Seminoles do. Yeah. Because he said that's what fired him up in Kansas City, was hearing the Noles war chant in Kansas City. So see, if Tampa could just do that, start doing that at home, it would work out perfectly.
You're right. They got to ditch the whole pirate thing and go full on native. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, wait a minute. This is going in a completely direction I don't want this to go in, because I'll tell you what, as a Bucks fan, I have been speaking to some of my brethren on Twitter, and we're all upset. Tampa Bay is actually a professional sports team. We are not an extension, even though it looks like we are, considering all we ever seem to do is draft Seminoles players. We are not an extension for the Seminoles or the Gators or the Hurricanes. So I don't want to see any of the Seminole Chomp or the Gator Chomp or Seminole Chan or whatever is there. All right, we got a pirate ship. We fire cannons.
Well, you're right on that, Anthony. But and the thing is that you're not an expansion team, because you guys came into the league the very same year the Seahawks did. Their sister expansion teams, and Seahawks have been 8-4 in that matchup since their inaugural campaigns.
Well, as a Bucks fan, you just have to ask yourself whether or not you want to win, Anthony. And it sounds like your answer is no.
Listen, Jameis has gone the last six games. I put together the numbers here. He's gone the last six games since that Monday night game against Carolina. 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 1,500 yards. So he has been playing well at quarterback. So it's not just the Kansas City game. He's been playing well without the chant. But I think right now at this point, I think for me, guys, the thing that I worry about is, listen, Tampa Bay played Kansas City without Kansas City's main guy on defense, Marcus Peters. Mike Evans was able to get open. I don't know if that's going to be a similar thing here in Tampa, because Mike Evans will likely be going up against Richard Sherman or one of the top guys in that secondary.
Well, it's going to have to be Richard Sherman, because who else is there at receiver for Tampa Bay? Richard Sherman will be the guy to be on Mike Evans and let everybody else figure out the rest. Because, yeah, now Cecil Shorts, he had a good game against the Seahawks a few years back, I think back when he was still with Jacksonville. But, the Seahawks secondary at that time, I think that was just, before Richard Sherman really could cover speed guys well. And we saw him turn that around. He's been able to prove that he can cover guys like Antonio Brown, who's, a really fast guy. Arizona has fast receivers that Sherman's been able to cover. But we are going to have to worry about Cecil Shorts on Richard Sherman, because he's going to be on Mike Evans.
One of my questions for you, Anthony, is just the secondary for Tampa Bay, because I feel like that's kind of your guys' weakest point on the defense, because with Gerald McCoy up front, I mean, he gives you one of those studs in the front seven. Levante David's a heck of a linebacker. Brent Grimes being the best corner, and I've always been a fan of Brent Grimes, even more than his wife, who's famous just for her own social media presence. But it sounds like he may be hurt for this game. Oh, really? That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
First of all, you asked me about a secondary. I don't know what secondary you're speaking of, aside from Chris Conte getting an interception. That was rare. He did it for two straight games. I think, I'll be honest, if he does it for a third time, I will be shocked. But I think for what your question is, listen, the secondary, here's the key, and here's what's really going to make this defense go. Robert Ayers. Robert Ayers is going to have to find a way to get pressure. Gerald McCoy will find a way to get inside. I don't know if he'll necessarily get to Russell, but he'll make sure that Russell doesn't step up. Russell will have to go outside or, run out of the pocket. So for me, the key is Robert Ayers has got to play well. And even William Golston has to show some kind of pass rush. He's been great in the run game, has shown flashes. But for me, in order for our secondary to have any chance against Russell Wilson, it's going to rely on Robert Ayers and William Golston.
I want to go back to the secondary, because I think we should talk more about Chris Conte, Anthony. How much do you love Chris Conte to be in the Bucs secondary?
Probably not as much as the Bears liked him, because they wouldn't even keep a hold of him, and they have a terrible secondary.
I mean, he's had good back-to-back weeks where he's had picks now, but is that
even
enough?
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut, Brandon.
That's what I'm saying. Is that enough to make you start feeling good about Chris Conte?
No, it doesn't. This defense does not make me feel good. I'll be honest with you. Looking at the Kansas City game, going forward, all right, cool. I saw them score. They get the 3 points. The defense stopped. Because I was honestly looking at it going that first drive. I'm like, all right, well, defense didn't show up today. So they get the stop in the red zone. I think for me, I'll be honest with you, you guys are going to move the football. I think Thomas Rawls is going to be able to run it. I think Russell Wilson is going to be able to throw it. The question is can the Tampa Bay defense play that same red zone defense they played against the Chiefs? And can they do that at home? Because like you said, too, they haven't played well at home. Don't ask me why, because I think Tampa Bay and the Raymond James is one of the best stadiums, even though it's about 20 years old now. It's still one of the better stadiums in the NFL, I think, and it's still got a great atmosphere when you play well in front of your fans. So for me, the secondary for me is still questionable. The question for me, though, is can we get a pass rush going forward? And how is that red zone defense going to look? Because this defense is not a top-of-the-line defense. It's not even in the top 10, I think. I think for you guys, it's going to be, can you score points in the red zone?
Well, and I was really happy, too, about last week with the way that the Seahawks offensive line played. And, yeah, normally I'd be, you know, kind of worried going up against a guy like Gerald McCoy on the defensive line for the Bucs. But we had Fletcher Cox in Philly that we faced off last week, and the Seahawks offensive line held up pretty well. And to me, he's one of the best guys up the middle that you're going to face. And so I'm feeling a little bit better about the offensive line right now. But you're right about Raymond James and the fans, because to put together two back-to-back games, yes, you know, win over the Bears, okay, great, but to go on the road and take down Kansas City in that stadium, I think Bucs fans for the first time this season at 5-5, they can really be fired up. And that's why I think it's going to be important for the Seahawks to really get started quickly and kind of take that home crowd out of the game early. Because if it tends to be close, I think Bucs fans are going to be fired up.
Well, and I kind of agree with you, Brandon. I felt going into the Eagles game that was going to be more or less a blowout, and the score wasn't quite as close as the end result was indicative of. I felt like the Seahawks really dominated the Eagles. I go into this game, and I think it's going to be a little tighter. Just the fact that the Bucs are so good on third down, and the fact that the Bucs are also really bad at stopping their opponent from going with big chunk plays down the field through the passing game. So when the Seahawks have the ball, it'll be quick strikes. And so therefore the Tampa Bay offense will have the ball for long stretches, and that time of possession bugaboo that's been a problem for the Seahawks for a few games this season, I could see that rearing its head again. And them not having the Seahawks not having a lot of opportunities to score, therefore keeping the game within a score or two. But for me, I feel like this is like Seahawks 23-17, something like that.
Adam, I'm glad you went that way, because that's going to be my next question, because I'm running out of time. Let us go ahead and make some predictions. You say that score, Adam. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm actually going to say 20-17, Bucks eke out a win. Oh, I know, big shocker here. Bucks fan going for the Bucks here. But Brandon, your thoughts?
I'm going to say that the Seahawks are going to put up a few more points than Adam. I say 28 they put on the board, and the Bucks get 20.
All right. Well, those are
some solid predictions.
Those are your predictions here, fans. You're listening to the Knock On Sports, and Adam Emmert, Brandon Schultz, thank you so much for coming on the show, my friends. And I hope you guys have a wonderful and great Thanksgiving with you and your families.
Absolutely. And we're going to look forward to having you on the Seahawkers podcast this week, Anthony.
That's right. We're going to break down this Bucks and Seahawks game even more on their podcast, guys, so make sure you check that out. We'll tweet it. We'll Facebook it. We'll do everything to it, and we'll get that out there for you as well. So, Adam, Brandon, thank you so much, my friends.
Thank you.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.